This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of
Real Wives in Radio.
Yay!
I know. I'm here. Hi, I'm Tanya.
I should say Real Wives and Real Moms in Radio.
Oh my gosh, weird. Do we need to change our name now?
No, we'll keep it the same.
Yeah.
But Tanya has been out for a couple weeks because she's been enjoying her new baby girl, Marina.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Everyone's been asking me and it's like, I'm doing great. Like, I'm so happy. I have a daughter and she's beautiful and wonderful and it's just been the biggest adjustment of my life.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Mommyhood has been a huge adjustment. And, you know, there have been some bumps in the road. But all in all, it's been good. Yeah. I'm smiling right now. You know what I mean? Do I look horrible? No, right? Like, no. I look okay, right?
Sister, you do not even look like you had a baby.
Okay, well,
like,
I did.
Hello, snapback.
thank you. Haven't been trying, but thank you.
Now, before we get into everything with Tanya, just a quick breakdown of this episode. It's going to be purely Tanya's birthing story because I haven't heard a single thing.
I know. I've seen you a few times. Yes. I'm like, we'll talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. We'll talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. And we're finally here. So
I am dying to find out about that.
Yeah.
And I'm just dying to get to know Marina a little bit better.
I know. So we're actually recording in my house right now. Mm-hmm. She's behind you. JJ is burping her.
She's the cutest
Isn't she so cute? I know. She's tiny. She was born tiny and she's slowly gaining weight, which is good.
Yeah. Let's just get into it. Let's hear this birthing story.
Oh my gosh, Dorothy. Okay. Where do I even begin?
Okay. So let's start with when did your water break?
Well, we can't start there because that's way into, labor. Okay. Yeah.
Let me start with, I got a text maybe a couple days before you, or the night before that you went into the hospital.
Oh, yeah. I remember I did text you.
Like, things were happening, but you're waiting to see. You're not going to the hospital just yet.
Yeah. So I was in what is called prodromal labor.
Which is what? What does that mean?
So not all women experience this. And what it is, it's I had been experiencing contractions 3 days before I went into labor, only at nighttime.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was not Braxton Hicks.
They felt like real contractions.
They felt like real contractions. I was timing them. They hurt. I was moaning in bed. I was in different positions. Like, they happened like every 45 minutes. The next night, every 30 minutes. They'd go away during the day or they'd come here and there. But at night, they were consistent. And each night, they got closer and closer. So I was like, things are happening. I'm just waiting for them to get 5 minutes apart because that's the rule, right? Once they're 5 minutes apart, they last for 1 minute.
Yeah. And then you got
to
go.
Then you go to the hospital. Right, so I was like, I was just waiting for that so I can go to the hospital because the last thing I wanted to do was go to the hospital and them tell me, oh, you're not even dilated yet. Go back home.
Yeah, they send you back home for sure.
I did not want that. So it's like the third night of this like weird labor that not everybody deals with. Of course I do. Of course.
Yeah. Now, real quick, sorry to interject, but did you feel your contractions like in the front or was it back labor?
Both.
I know.
Felt it both. Yeah. Okay. So they're finally like 8 minutes apart. I'm like timing them and I have an app and I'm like, it's like maybe like 2 a.m. and you know, JJ's asleep because what can he do? And I'm feeling these contractions. I'm like, you know, in all these like different yoga positions in my bed and I'm like just trying to get some relief. And then they're 8 minutes apart. I'm like, okay, it's gonna happen soon. Like, it must, right? And then I go to the bathroom and I pee and there's just like this like gush of like blood on my underwear. I know. Sorry.
Whoa.
If I know you weren't ready for that, but there was a lot of blood and that scared me.
Right.
So I was like, I don't care how close my contractions are. We're going to the hospital now because this is not a good sign. I want to make sure Marina's okay. Who cares if they send us back? Let's just have them check on the baby.
Right.
So we had our stuff packed already. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, oh my God, this could be it. You know, I'm like pacing back and forth. Like JJ's taking like our entire house to the car because we had a plan for the room. Like we wanted to make sure it was cozy in there. So he's taking my ball. He's taking my crystal. He's taking our aromatherapy infuser. He's taking like everything to the car. And it's like freezing, I remember. And then I got another contraction. I had like wait before I got in the car. And then we get in the car and I'm just like, it's weird to even talk about this now because it's hard to remember now. But it was just like, I remember getting contractions on the way to the hospital. We check into the hospital and they give us a room and they start asking me these questions. And then they check to see if I'm dilated. And the nurse says, oh, wow. You're already 5 centimeters dilated.
Wow.
Yeah. Me and JJ looked at each other like, oh my gosh. She's like, you've done like half of your labor at home. Like you're good. And we're just like
shocked.
Yes. Shocked. I was not ready for that.
I thought you were going to say like, oh, I was like 2 centimeters
thank
along.
Thank you. Well, that's what I thought too. The blood was fine. If you've been listening to the podcast, I've mentioned early on that I did have bleeding in the beginning of my pregnancy because of a cyst that I had in my cervix. So they think that just because things are moving and she's like getting further down and down, it kind of just like rubbed it the wrong way and, you know, the blood happened. But yeah, they checked on her. She was fine. They checked on me. I was fine. 5 centimeters dilated. They're like, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here. 3:45 in the morning. We got admitted. Yeah. And we called my mom. We called his mom, like everything. And I just remember Jade and I looking at each other like, is going down. It is going down soon. Like we got time to do nothing. It's happening right now. So they move us to like a bigger room and like we get comfortable. Like I said, JJ brought my ball. We brought crystals. I brought my affirmation cards.
Yeah, because you wanted to do a natural birth plan. That was your guys's your thing
and
going
we,
into it.
And we gave those papers with my birth plan to all the nurses. So they were aware. We taped them up on the door. Yeah. So anybody who came in was aware. You should have seen. And the birth plan said that. The birth plan had, you know, no interventions whatsoever. I don't want any kind of interventions. I don't want Pitocin. I don't want epidural. I don't want you to break my water. I want everything to happen naturally.
Right.
And so far everything had, right? I'm 5 centimeters dilated. Everything had happened naturally.
At 3:45 at
3:45.
What day was this? Like December
30th.
Okay.
Yes. 3:45 in the morning. So we give us the room and my mom gets there and we're just all chilling. Then JJ's mom gets there. It's like hours pass by. Like nothing's really happening. They're monitoring me and they're monitoring the baby because of that blood. They wanted to make sure that they like kept an eye on her and stuff. And hours pass by. Nothing happens. I'm not even having contractions anymore, sis. I don't know what happened. They were 8 minutes apart and now they've completely disappeared. You should have seen me. I was like happy in there, cracking jokes. Yeah. Like you would have never even believed that I was like 5 centimeters dilated, like on my way to having a baby.
Right. Well, I mean, especially like everything that you see in TV, especially if you've never had a baby before, it's like, oh, your water comes gushing out when it breaks, right. And then you go in and then you have a baby.
Right.
You
know? Okay. So at that time my water hadn't broken yet and all that we knew was that I was 5 centimeters dilated. That was like the only thing that was putting me like in labor, right? Other than that, we were waiting for my water to break and we're waiting for my cervix to dilate even more. Hours passed by. I mean like hours. I want to say 8 hours passed by. Nothing
Shut
happens.
Up.
Nothing happens. My doctor gets there. She's like, listen, I know you're trying to do this naturally, but it's not happening naturally. So we may need to intervene. And I'm like, I don't want that. I was like stubborn. I was like, I do not want that. Let's just wait till nighttime. My contractions always come back at night.
Yeah.
Like it's going to happen. Right. I know it. I know it's going to happen. So like 4 o'clock rolls around and that's usually when my contractions had been starting like days before. Nothing happens. It's like literally like 45 minutes in between my contractions. Not 8 minutes like it was when I checked into the hospital.
Like,
yeah,
it's like going in reverse.
That's exactly what happened. My labor completely stalled. Completely stalled. So we had been sitting in the hospital for hours. Nothing's happening. And then I'm just
Is there
like,
a reason that labor stalls?
They say like sometimes stress could stall it. And okay. I didn't feel like I was very stressed. But, you know, I've learned that my body works really in really weird ways. Like I may act like I'm not stressed and I may think I'm not stressed. But inside, like my body is stressed
it's
the fuck out.
Because you're an alien.
Because I'm an alien. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so we so like my that was like at 4 o'clock and my doctor's like, I'll be back at 7 p.m. if you want to change your mind and get some Pitocin to further along your labor, let me know. And I was like, ugh. She's like, we could either do that or we could break your water. Either one of those will
help move things along.
Help move things along. Exactly. Again, I didn't want to do it, but now I'm like, we've been here for hours. Like, what's happening? Tanya, stop being stubborn. Maybe you should just do this. So she comes back at 7 and I'm like, all right, give me a hit of the pit. And that means give me some. I literally said that. I said, Dr. Sandoval, give me a hit of the pit.
You did
I
not.
Did. JJ, JJ, did I not? Yeah.
Oh
so,
my God.
So I said, start me off in small doses. Like, let's not, you know, go crazy. And so we did that.
Give me a hit of the pit.
They put me on Pitocin, and Pitocin speeds things along. So they started me off really small and it worked me up every hour a little bit more, a little bit more.
And did that make your body change?
So what was going to happen was that was supposed to, again, make my cervix dilate a little bit more. And what we're waiting for is my water to break. So they're thinking that this Pitocin was going to make my water break. Mm-hmm. So hours go by and I had requested minimal cervical checks because I didn't want it to be a mental game. You know what I mean? Yeah, I didn't want them to check me and then I'm not moved along. And then I stress about that. And I stress about that.
That's a smart decision.
You know, so
that would have drove you crazy.
Exactly. So at that point, I didn't know how far along I was. So a couple hours go by and I'm like, I must be a little bit more, you know, so go ahead and check me. She checks me. I'm literally 5 centimeters dilated. Nothing has happened. It's been hours since I checked into the hospital.
I cannot believe this. It's probably almost been like 12 hours.
I couldn't right? even tell you. I don't even know if it's daylight outside, like nighttime. I don't know if the moon's out. I have no idea.
Okay, so
right?
that's super frustrating.
So, okay. So then I'm like, okay, let's get things going. So I start walking around. I start bouncing on the ball crazy. I'm like doing squats. I'm like literally doing everything. I think I was dancing. Like I was doing everything to break my water. Nothing's happening. So next, it's already the next day and the doctor comes. She's like, well, it's been like, you know, almost like 24 hours. Yeah. Like, you know, what do you want to do? And I was like, please check me one more time. And she's like, OK. So she checks me and I think I was 6 centimeters dilated.
Barely.
Yeah. And she's like, while I'm in here, can I just break your water? And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this, right. but I'm desperate. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So when they break your water, like they're literally just supposed to go in you and just like break it with a little
with
hook.
Like a hook.
Yeah, it's I don't think it hurts because it didn't hurt me.
Because it's just like a little sack that they
yeah,
have to pop.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So they just go in there, gently break your water. She was in there for a second. She was wiggling around like it was not a little gentle thing. And when she comes out, she's like, "All right, your water's broken." And she was like, "I just want to let you know, like your bag was very thick." And I was like,
oh, okay.
And
of course it would be.
Of course
it would
have a thick bag. So like sounds, who's heard of a thick bag?
Like it probably wouldn't have broken on its own.
No, it would have never broken on its own. So
oh, man.
Hours later, yeah, it had been like at least 24 hours already.
Yeah, yeah.
So my water breaks. She's like, when your water breaks, things are going to really start moving along and the contractions are going to get even more painful, just so you know. I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Okay. Bring it. Like, right, let's go. Right. Like, I've been waiting for some action.
It's
you know?
Been 24 hours.
Right?
I'm ready. Let's
know,
do this.
Let's do this. So she breaks my water. Holy Dorothy. These contractions were like demonic. Like I turned into like a demon. I felt like I mean, hours went by and I was like, just working through it, you know what I mean? Working through the
still
pain.
Still no pain medication, just
still
all
no pain
natural.
Medication, all natural. And I was like, you know, I'm grateful for JJ. He was like a really big support system there. He was like rubbing my back, like just helping me.
Yeah.
The nurse is there. One of the nurse that I had that night or that afternoon was actually a doula before. So she brought her doula's expertise. I know. Oh my God.
Thank God for that.
I loved all the nurses there. Yeah. And I'm just like, it's little by little. It's every hour. It's just like the pain is getting in more intense, more intense. A lot of women have asked me, what does it feel like? And the only thing I can think of is it feels like if someone is slowly blowing up a balloon like in your cervix and they just keep blowing it. Like, and it just feels like that balloon is just going to pop in you. Oh. And it's just like pushing you to the edge. And like it feels like the biggest cramp, the biggest bloat, the biggest.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, kudos to you, sis, because I probably went on my, I felt the contractions when I was getting admitted in triage.
Yeah.
But not, I mean, it hurt.
Yeah.
But not to the extent that you're describing. They gave me an epidural before that.
Well, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Because the pain was, it was bad. And, and not only that, it was like, it was, the pain was at like a, you know, 1,000 plus. It had been hours of me feeling this pain already.
Right.
Like,
and you're probably exhausted. You didn't even rest.
Tired, sis. Tired. At that point, it had been like almost, it's again, 24 hours of no sleep, constantly working through this stress, like feeling this pain. Like it's just getting out of control. So I'm throwing up. It was bad. I was throwing up. I was like crying.
Is that a reaction to the Pitocin? Or what? Like, why were you throwing up?
I don't know why I was throwing up. I don't know if it was like my body just like, I was so stressed.
Yeah.
And I was so in so much pain. Because it wasn't a reaction to the Pitocin because it had been like already hours after that. Mm-hmm. It was like once the pain got unbearable, like I felt like my body, I was not in control of the things that my body was doing anymore. I would go to the bathroom and like sitting on the toilet felt amazing. But no, I shouldn't say it felt amazing because nothing felt amazing at that time. What am I talking about? It felt better than any other position.
Yeah.
It was like the only like minimal relief I could get. And then at one point I was sitting on the toilet and I wasn't pooping. I wasn't peeing. I was literally pushing from my stomach, like if I was trying to push the baby out. I was scaring myself. It was like the pushing that I was doing was like I could feel like I was pushing the baby.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, what is happening? Like, and the nurse came in there. She's like, you cannot be in here doing that because we're not monitoring the baby while you're in the bathroom. And that's not good. It's stressful for her.
Jeez,
like, it was scary.
That's scary.
So at that point, it was already the end. And like, I remember I hadn't opened my eyes and like, it's dark in the room and I'm like crying and I'm like gagging and just like the pain is crazy. And I finally was like, please check me. Like, I must be already.
Right. You're like 10 centimeters right now.
I must be 10 centimeters. Right. There's no way. This pain is insane. Like, there's just no way. So they check me and she was like, all right. She's like, you're actually like 8 centimeters. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I know. Oh, still seems, I know. But in my head, I'm like, that's great. To me, that's progress. Yeah. I'm like, I'm almost there.
Right.
And then she goes, you're probably like, you probably have like 2 more hours left in you. And I said, no.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. I looked at her and I said, give me the epidural. Like, it's time. I cannot wait any longer. Like, for real.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even believe it was like that. I don't even feel like I even like said that. Like, right. I feel like my body said that.
Yeah.
Like, give me the epidural. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was in so much pain and I couldn't take it anymore. Yeah. There was nothing that could relieve my pain. No position, no breathing technique, no visual, like nothing. And JJ was like, are you sure? Because he knew like how much I did not want to do that. And I said, if I'm saying it, I mean it. Like, yeah, I would not mess around with this. So I mean, I was like, bring it now. Like, I can't wait for this.
And I think that's like the last, because once you go past a certain point, they can't give you an epidural.
That's what everyone said. But the nurses was like, you can get an epidural at any time.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah, okay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the rules on that. But I was lucky to have it. And I felt like I was demanding that it get there fast. I'm telling you, I don't know who I turned into. Like, I turned into a monster. And this like the anesthesiologist or whatever comes in and he's like this like old grumpy man and he's like doesn't care that I'm crying, doesn't care that I'm desperate, doesn't care that I'm in pain. And he like, you know, has me like bend over and sit over and he was like, okay, I need you to not move. And I was like, no, I feel a contraction coming. I was like, I can't do two pains at once. I can't do a contraction and a big old needle in my spine. Like, I can't do it. And he was like, you can't move. I was like, no. I was like, I'm going to move because I'm going to have a contraction. And then he was like, don't move. And then I guess
he couldn't wait.
No, he could not wait. Like, he didn't care. And
that's messed up.
I know.
That's
trust me.
Real messed up.
Well, I was so desperate that I sat quietly and silently through that painful ass contraction.
After 24 hours, probably 30 hours at this point of contractions.
I didn't care. So they gave me the epidural. And in 5 minutes, I felt instant relief. I'm not kidding. In 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Did
you feel cold, like your body was a cold sensation when the epidural went through?
I don't know. At that point, I don't know what I felt. I had the sweats. I had gross, yeah. All kinds of things. I didn't feel anything except a smile on my face. I'm not kidding. I laid back onto that bed and I had like the tiniest little smile. Like it was the weirdest thing.
JJ must have been so happy.
I think he had a smile too. And then this is like 30 hours in. And the nurse is like, now that you are good, you need to go to bed. Like you need to sleep because you're going to have to push soon. And that's going to require a lot of energy. And
were you able to like even eat a snack to get energy?
At that point, no.
Oh, damn.
All I could do was
sleep. So you were 30 hours of labor trying to move this thing along, stalled, hadn't eaten anything.
I probably exhausted. Before that I had eaten.
Okay.
Little things here and there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't trying to eat that much because I was scared. I don't want to poop. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But also like I was eating enough like to sustain like my energy and stuff.
Okay.
But then they said you gotta go to bed and I'm like, how am I gonna go to sleep like through contractions? Oh, I didn't feel anything.
You don't feel anything.
I didn't feel anything.
No, you don't feel like when I had my epidural, all I felt, the only time I knew I was having a contraction was when I heard the monitor
go.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing. And so I was like, I can't believe I'm here right now. Here I am. I didn't want any kind of intervention. I got the Pitocin. I got my water broken. I got the epidural. Yeah. Like literally, this would happen to me.
This would happen to me.
And I knew this was going to happen. Yeah. But it's okay because I didn't care. I was grateful for that epidural. Like so grateful. And because of it, I was able to sleep. So everybody in the room got some sleep. I was in there.
Good.
JJ got some sleep. My mom got some sleep. JJ's mom got some sleep. I mean, we had all been up for 30 hours.
Yeah,
you know?
They had been in there. Your moms were there the entire time.
The entire time.
Wow.
Just watching me
go through everything.
You know.
Highs and lows.
With a demon inside me. Like literally, like you would think I was in an Exorcist movie. Like the way it was bending and like it was just insane.
Your screams, the people.
The scream.
They're probably like, don't mind her. Don't listen to that room.
It was embarrassing. It was at the end of it. I was like, this is embarrassing. The way I'm like yelling. Like I'm not even like pushing yet.
But
like,
you know they're used to that.
I know.
You're not the only one.
I know. But yeah, so I went to, I took a nap, which made me feel amazing. I woke up again with a smile. I'm like, how am I smiling after 30 hours of like this madness, you know?
Yeah.
And the nurse comes in and she's like, all right, well, let's try practice pushing because it's almost time. Like you're pretty much there. So, you know, put my legs in the stirrups or whatever.
And when you push, okay, is it like when you're pushing, like you got to go to the bathroom, number two push?
No.
Okay.
It's because you're pushing with like your abs almost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I had a C-section, so I don't know.
I know.
That's why I'm curious about this.
I know. I was thinking about you too, because I'm like, this. You know, we had different birth stories.
Right.
So yeah, they put my legs up. JJ's holding one leg. My mom's holding the other leg. My mother-in-law is like, just right there right in front of me. It's fine. At that point, I didn't care. Everyone had seen everything, you know.
Yeah.
And I had requested a mirror so that I could see.
You really?
Yeah. I wanted to see everything.
Oh, wow.
So she's like, all right, let's try pushing, you know. And she's like, you know, counting me down. She's like, when I tell you that you're having a contraction because I couldn't feel them, that's when you want to push. So she's like, all right, you're about to have one. Go ahead and push. And she'd like count like 10. 9 or I don't even,
whatever.
Can't even tell you what how she was counting. And she was like, you're doing really good. She's like, I could feel the baby's heads right there. And I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, let's do it again one more time. And then like, we're just doing practice pushes. And then she was like,
shut up, Rita came out.
She's like, yep, I can see her hair. It's like right there. And
Shut up.
I can see it. Like I'm looking in the mirror, like her little tiny little sliver of her head is like right there. And I could see her hair. And she's like, okay.
They got to call the doctor.
Yeah. She's like, I was not ready for this to happen. She's like, you cannot push anymore. If you push anymore, she'd probably come out. Doctor's not even here yet. We got to wait. So there I am.
Are you serious?
Legs up in the air, vag out, mother-in-law right in front
staring
of me.
Staring at your vag.
Husband, nurse, other nurse. Like, everyone's just, like, talking. JJ's drinking a Starbucks with one other hand. Like, we're just... And thank God, again, for the epidural, because I couldn't feel anything. You know what I mean? Like, all other than, like, this hey, here's is embarrassing.
Here's Marina's head about to pop out.
That hair, no, that's not mine. That's my daughter's. Like,
wow.
Yeah, so... There we are, and we probably waited like 15 minutes before my doctor got there.
Hella exposed, yeah. Hella vulnerable.
Thank you.
Dude, that is like so
the most vulnerable.
Exposed,
but
too.
At that point, it's like I didn't care anymore. Right. Like, who cares?
Right.
Like,
right.
Who cares? So, doctor gets there. She's like, "Oh, I heard we're moving along pretty fast." I'm like, "Finally, you know."
Yeah.
35 hours later.
Come catch his baby.
Right?
Let's do this. Catch his baby.
And so there she goes. And she's like, all right, let's start pushing. We probably pushed for like a few more minutes. And her head comes out. And I thought it was, I pushed her head out. And I thought it was like still going to push her body out. But they pull her body out. So I was done.
I thought you had to push. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Little do we know.
I don't know if this happens who knows if it's different. Yeah. You know, I don't know. But I didn't have to push her body out. I just pushed her head out. And you could hear it in the video. I say, that's it. Like, I'll show you the video.
Okay.
We can play the audio too.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because my mom, she recorded the very end of the labor, which she was not supposed to do.
Oh, whoops.
But that's okay. It's okay. I think it was an accident. wink, wink. And so, yeah, I pushed her out. It was very fast and easy. And Marina Amara Gonzalez was born 5 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 inches long. And again,
she's a long girl, man.
I know. Big smile on my face.
Yeah.
Real big smile on my
face. On December 31st,
36 hours later.
2019.
My little baby girl was born.
Aww,
I know.
Your little New Year's Eve baby.
And it was wonderful. And it was only wonderful. It was only an amazing delivery because I had the epidural. I'm telling
that's
you.
That's what I was going to ask you next. It's like, yes. Next baby, are you going to go epidural?
I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to however that labor and delivery is. I'm not saying that I'm going to get it, and I'm not saying I'm not, because I did do most of my labor naturally.
Yeah,
I really tried to fight through that pain. For whatever reason, my labor was not progressing on its own, and it made it longer, and that pain was longer, and I was able to tolerate the pain, but not for that amount of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's so long to be going through labor.
I don't think most women's labors are that long.
I don't think so either.
You know, so had it been shorter, maybe I could have done it. You know, who knows? Right. I don't know. So next baby, I will probably try again. And if I can't, I know what my options are and what it does and how it works. Well,
and that's the thing. Like, now you've been through it. Now you know.
Yeah.
And then you can make your informed decision when the time comes.
Exactly. But I will tell you, like, I'm a changed woman. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying I still love the idea of a natural birth, but I am also more open to interventions when needed, you know? And I definitely needed it. Like, my labor was not going to do anything on its own, you know? And for whatever, I still don't know why. You know, like, I still don't know why my labor stalled. I still don't know why my bag was so thick, you know? Yeah. Like, so again, I'm just happy. And another reason why I'm grateful for the epidural is because it put me in a really good headspace for when the time came to deliver. You know what I mean? Had I been in like pain still, I'm not sure I would have been like so happy to greet her. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not sure I would have been like in such a jolly mood, you know, with my legs up and completely exposed. You know what I mean? I just, again, I'm really grateful for everything and the way it happened. I'm grateful for my doctor. I'm grateful for the nurses. I'm grateful that I was able to be there for 36 hours. You know, they really let me like take my time.
And didn't sound like your doctors or your nurses pushed anything on you. They let it be completely up to you and
they
your decision.
Did.
So that's really good.
They were very, they were very nice about it all, and they were not pushy, and everything was done on my own terms. And I'm just glad that, you know, she was born healthy and I stayed healthy, and like we both weren't stressed or at risk. And
When I saw you the next, I mean, the next day.
Yeah.
You yeah. looked amazing. I mean, and I know you don't take compliments well, but take this compliment. It didn't even seem like you had just gone through all of that. Like, yeah. I wouldn't have known that from after listening to your story and seeing you the next day.
Yeah. I don't know. I did feel amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what it was. Like, I don't know if it was because. I don't know. She was a small baby too, so maybe that's why. Like, maybe it was easier to me for me to push a small baby out. I don't know. Again, the epidural. I have no idea.
Oh, and in case you guys are wondering, Tanya did go through with encapsulating her placenta.
I did. Oh yeah, you were there.
Oh yeah. And I was like, whoa.
Dorothy had been visiting me at the hospital when the placenta lady, who we had on our podcast,
Trish,
yeah. She delivered my placenta.
Yeah.
And the painting or mm-hmm. the placenta stamp.
Art.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been taking them.
And I mean, I know you don't have any other experience to compare it to.
Yeah.
But how have you been feeling?
I mean, I feel great.
Yeah.
My recovery was really, I mean, it hasn't even been a month yet. And like, I feel great. Like, I don't feel like there's nothing that I can't do. Like, I feel like I could probably work out, you know. I don't feel any kind of, I mean, I think I feel when it comes to like baby blues, like I think I feel like the typical like mom like stress and baby blues, but like not.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, I've cried, right? Like I've cried because breastfeeding is hard, or I've cried because I'm worried that about her weight, which we'll get into in another episode, but I haven't cried because I feel like I don't know what postpartum depression feels like, but I don't feel like I'm depressed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's because of the my placenta. I have no idea. I have no idea. My milk production's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's like out of this world, but like it's good. It's not low, you know, like I'm producing.
Right.
So yeah, I think the placenta thing's working out and I feel great.
Good.
You know, little over 3 weeks since I've had
Which
Marina.
Is so nuts.
I know.
It's flown by.
It has really, it really
does
has.
Does it feel like it's flown by for you? Or do the days seem long? And then you're like, holy crap, it's already been a week.
No, the days don't seem long. They actually seem like they go by really fast.
Yeah.
The nights seem long sometimes, you know?
And how is Marina as a baby? Like, what is she like?
She's a sassy little girl. If you haven't seen a picture, she literally came out with one eyebrow raised. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she was sizing everybody up as soon as she came out. Like, I can't. There's a picture of her where I'm holding her, like, as soon as they pulled her out. And she looks like a little chola. Like, she looks like she's just, like, mad dogging you. Like, and she does. Like, she has
She
like,
came out look. Baby mystical tears.
Oh, my God. And everyone's like, she looks just like you, Tanya. And then I look at her and I'm like, it's really weird to see someone that looks like you.
Yeah.
Like, and she does look like me.
She does. When you showed
it's
me
weird.
Your baby picture.
Yeah.
And then I looked at Marina and I was, twin.
Yeah.
Twin. You made a carbon copy. You and JJ made a carbon copy of you.
She's changing a little bit. And I think eventually she'll look more like JJ too. But right now she looks a lot like me. And she's gives you that stank face like
all
I do.
Day.
Like, that's what I look like. Oh, I'm sorry, baby girl. But no, she's fine. And she's very curious. She's very alert from what I hear. A lot of people are like, she's very alert. And she sleeps a lot. I don't know.
And you guys have been getting some rest and stuff like that?
Yeah. Like she does like, she'll randomly do these like random, like longer than 3 hour runs at night. So like
we'll good.
Sleep a little bit more, but we have to wake her up to eat because I feel like she forgets. But yeah, I think everything's been good. I'm just like waiting for her to like.
Personality to come out.
I just can't wait for her little personality. Yeah. Right now,
I'm still waiting for that with that.
I know. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because you're like, you could see it, but it's not full on yet.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess we'll always be waiting for them to just be like even more, right?
Yeah.
And see
what
they're like in the next stage. But yeah, right now, she's still in that like you know, poop, sleep, eat,
repeat, breastfeed, pump.
Oh,
that
good
thing.
How much time we got? Because the breastfeeding, the pumping, that's a whole nother thing that I was not ready for. But yeah, that's my birth story. Yeah. And it's funny because, like, you know, there are some friends of mine who are pregnant right now, and they had so many questions for me. And I don't want to scare anybody with my birth story because I think mine was a little unique.
Right.
You know what I mean? 36 hours is not, it's not the average labor. And again, I had a lot of little things, like my labor completely stalled for the longest time. I think the average person would have gotten that Pitocin way early on and wouldn't have waited so many hours like I did. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit stubborn in intervention, so that's why it took even longer. I had a thick water bag, which
is super rare.
I've never heard of that. You know, so there's a lot of little things that happen in my labor that is not super common.
Yeah.
And so I don't want anyone to be scared, you know, and everyone's labor and delivery is different. Like, truly, like,
it really
everyone
is.
Everyone I talk to, like, there's no same, you know, there's no like model.
There's
for
no
what
cookie
it should,
cutter.
No,
labor.
There isn't. There
really isn't.
So, you know, just go in it. Everyone told me too, like, don't have a birth plan because it's just going to go out the window. And, you know, mine kind of did.
Yeah,
absolutely. I might have a copy of it, but my birth plan is there wasn't really anything that. No, there are things that I stuck to, but a lot of the big things I didn't, you know?
Yeah.
All those little interventions. So I just say keep an open mind. And I think the most, if anyone's not going to have a birth plan, or if you are going to have a birth plan, I feel like the first thing, number one thing that you should tell all your nurses and doctors is just keep mom and baby safe. If you guys are good, then I think, you know, I mean, that was my priority. You know, like, yeah, if we're good, we can move on in any other way. So,
yeah. And you guys are good.
Crazy.
And
it's
you're
so
a mommy.
Crazy. I know.
And JJ's a dad.
We're both moms.
I know.
We're both moms now. It's like so weird to be here now. Like,
I know. I cried when I saw you.
I know you did. You, girl, you cried. Like every time I see you now. I don't know who you are, but
seriously,
I get it.
No, right? Like,
I get it.
Like, I don't know. I'm crying like thinking about me crying when I saw you. What is wrong with me?
See the watery eyes.
Oh my God. I don't know. I mean, when I saw you at the hospital the next day, I just remember walking in and I just felt the love in the room.
Yeah.
Like the love between you and JJ, the love for Marina, the love that you guys had for her. Like all your best friends were there.
Yeah.
You could just tell how loved this little girl was. And she was, I mean, she's just barely like not even 24 hours.
I know.
You know, and then just like how much that meant to you and your family, and like knowing your guys' struggle with getting pregnant, you know, and then like this is what you guys have prayed for and it's come true, and she's healthy and you're healthy and JJ's healthy, like all of that. It's just, I love you guys.
Oh,
you know,
thank you. And I love you too. And thank you.
It just
you.
Makes me so happy for
you're
you.
So, look at I you. Know. Gosh, who are I you? Know. I'm not crying over here. I just want everyone to know I got some dry eyes here. It's really weird.
It's how
things,
now.
Things have changed. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. So much love for baby girl. And thank you for saying all of that right now, because, you know, there are some really frustrating times right now with getting the breastfeeding down and trying to remember to be grateful for all those things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and remember that I have options, you know, with when it comes to feeding her, and that there are a lot of things just to be happy about, and we are blessed. So
yeah. Do you want to get into breastfeeding right now?
Not really.
Okay. We'll save it for next episode. We'll save it for the
it's
next episode.
It's too fresh right now. It's too fresh. Yeah. I do want to show you the end of my delivery video if you're open.
I'm totally
to
down.
Seeing.
I am open to seeing this.
Okay.
I'm fascinated by it because it's completely different from my birthing experience.
And everyone that's listening, sorry you don't get to see it. Okay. But you will get to hear it. I can let you hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hold on. So embarrassing.
What? Just show me.
We're taking our relationship to the next level right now.
Okay. Whoa. You really can see her head and everything. Okay, I'm pressing play.
Okay.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh,
my God.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna cry.
I'm gonna cry.
Oh my god, I know. Oh my god, that was so. Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's it.
Oh my god, Tanya, that is so. That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my god.
I know. It was really like, and I had that mirror, so I was able to see everything.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could see at the end of the video, she actually pooped on herself like on her way out.
Oh
so,
yeah.
Like, her
yeah,
bottom
I did
half
see
was
that.
Like just had poop on it, but
that's okay.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
It was all over me too. I didn't care.
Yeah. That really is so beautiful, and that's you have that moment.
I have
forever.
It. And I. The one thing that I remember, it's the weirdest thing, is when she came out of me and they put her on my chest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get emotional.
It's okay, Tots. Let it out, sis.
I know. It's just like the best feeling ever. When they put her on my chest and she was just like so warm, like I can't it's the weirdest thing, like it was a warmth that is like no other warmth, like it's not like the warmth of a, you know,
like a sweater
burrito
warm,
or right. sweater. I don't know why I thought of that first, or the heater, or like there right. was no, it is the feeling of her like body like on me is just like the best feeling ever, and I never want to forget it.
I don't think you ever will.
I know. Everyone asks, like, did you cry? Like, I cried a little bit. Like, I think I was, like, in so much, so, like, in
shock.
Shock.
Right.
Because it happened so fast.
Right.
And, like, again, like, I thought I was going to push her body out. And I
yeah.
just had to push her head. Like, there was just so many things that I was just not ready for it to happen that fast.
Right.
So, I think that's why I was, like, still in such shock.
Yeah.
But that
warmth, that bond, that's a bond that only you and her will have.
I just couldn't believe when they put her on my chest, like she was like there after like 36 hours and like praying for her for so long and like having a great pregnancy. And it was just, I don't know, it was just wonderful. And I'm so happy.
Yeah. And it shows. You're glowing. You still got that pregnancy glow. Now
yeah,
you got the mommy
that's
glow.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. It's been hard, but it's still, like, the best thing ever. Like, I feel like every day, like, we just, like, look at her, you know.
Yeah.
We're just, like, more in love, which is, it's almost, it's kind of scary to, like, yeah. love someone the way you love your child.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that love kind of scares me, you
yeah.
know, like,
and it evolves with every single day.
It's
like, how's my heart getting bigger
yeah.
and bigger and bigger?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But
you did a great job, Mom.
Thank you. Thank
your
you.
Your daughter is beautiful.
I love her. Her
yeah.
that, yeah. Even when she's mean mugging me.
But she doesn't know everybody.
But yeah, thank you everyone too that's reached out and has like been really supportive. And you know I haven't like really been super active on like social media like I normally am, but I've just been trying to be present and like
enjoy your
just
daughter.
Enjoy it and just and focus on the things that we need to focus on. And but there have been a lot of people that have reached out and just like, hey, just checking in, like I know these weeks can be really hard, you know.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to reach out back to everyone because
yeah.
when someone asks you like how are you, like I can't just put fine, you
right,
know what I mean,
right.
like
there's so
that's
much
not
more
real yeah
right.
And that's not who I am, you know. So sometimes there's just not, I don't have the time to like reach out to everyone, but I know everyone's understanding. So
yeah,
thank you everybody. You can not watch, I was gonna say you can watch the video on our Instagram page, but I'm
no,
not
we
gonna
can't
post
show that,
that.
We
yeah
can't
we
show
definitely
that.
Cannot.
That's too personal. That's too a little then you'll really know Tanya.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But to all of our sister wives.
Yeah. Thank you
thank
guys
you.
For the support. And keep sending Tanya lots of love and lots of messages.
Yeah.
We're going to try to record again next week.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, you guys, thank you for messaging us, reaching out to us, reaching out to Tanya and JJ. Always follow us at Real Wives and Radio. Rate and subscribe us.
Please. It's a new year. It's a new year. We need new followers.
That's right.
We need new listeners. Tell all the people that you know.
Yes. Exactly.
And not just women.
all the guys too.
Yeah, we could have brother husbands too.
Stop it. Stop it. Sister wives, brother husbands.
Yes, that's what we're calling them, okay?
All right, they're brother husbands. That's right. You can follow us individually at Dorothy on Air for me.
At I'm Tanya Gonzalez.
Listen through radio.com, download on iTunes, subscribe, all that stuff, rate us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love us, like us, and we'll talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.